So friends, we have seen the source and the institutional finance for the agriculture finance. Everything what we have seen is domestically how the agriculture production takes place. Now the produce which is produced from the farm has to be sold into the market. Until then, finance is required. But when this produce is manufactured or produced on a very large scale and there is no much demand, then farmers are exploring the possibility to sell it outside the state or outside the country. When such kind of export or such kind of goods are sold outside the country, then it is called as an export. Agriculture produce, when it is sold outside the country, is an agri-export. And because the time taken for realization of this sold commodity, farmer may require the finance much before selling it or exporting it, or after selling till the date of getting realization of the proceeds of the goods sold. So the finance is made available for this type of goods or the produce which is produced from the agriculture is covered under agri-export finance. Is it clear? So this agri-export finance is a very crucial, very, very crucial as far as the export is concerned. And procedure for export is also different. The next chapter after this will be covered for understanding the export process. But to make the goods till the stage of export and post-export, some finance is required that is covered under this agri-export finance. So, in short, it consists of export competitiveness to understand its current status and outlook of the competitiveness, credit facilities to the agri-exports, in which form it is required to be. Then special economic zone type, some zones are created for agriculture. It is called agri-export zones. Organization which are promoting the export of agricultural commodity. World Trade Organization, that is WTO, impact, its impact on the globalization and trade for the development. Major constraint of the agri-export sectors that we have to understand. And we have to suggest some ideas, some views for promoting this export, and certain policy changes which are happened in the near latest past 5 to 10 years time that is going to be covered under our discussion of this chapter of agri-export finance. You all are aware that we are exporters, agri-exporters, and agricultural produce we are exporting. This may be in the form of marine products, this may be rice, this may be sugar, spices, or it might have increased or decreased its production, but still the export is happening. As per the economic survey, trend is increasing in the last year. For our understanding purpose, I have taken the statistic of latest statistic till December 2020. Okay. And this statistics will make you understand where we stand as far as the agri-exports are concerned. So our agri-export has touched 2.52 lakhs rupees crores. And import is 1.47 lakhs crores in the last financial year, that is 2019-20. No doubt, India occupies a leading position in the global trade of the agricultural products. However, its total agriculture export basket accounts for a little over 2.5% of the world's agricultural trade. So it is very, very less. And that is why the government always says to take the steps for initiation or for export of the agricultural commodities. The major export destinations where we export our agricultural produce are United States of America, that is USA, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Nepal, and Bangladesh. Among the key agricultural commodities, what type of commodities we are exporting? These are nothing but it is marine products, basmati rice, buffalo meats, spices, non-basmati rice, cotton raw, oil mills, sugar, castor oil, and tea. These are some of the major commodities that we are exporting to these countries of USA, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Nepal, and Bangladesh. The analysis of the last 6 years of the share of the top 10 agricultural commodities in total value of the agriculture export, which shows that the share of marine product in the total agricultural export value has remained the largest over the period from the survey set. Marine product share, the total agriculture export value increased from 14.5% in 2015-16 to 19% in 19-20 in 5 years' time. Okay? The share of the basmati rice has also been increased, and it tend to increase, including the non-basmati rice, spices, sugars. These are the total agricultural export value has also shown increasing the trend during the previous period. However, buffalo meat and the raw cotton in the total agricultural export value have declined during the same period, and the share of these common commodities such as castor oil and the tea have remained stable over the period. If you look at the actual percentage, that will show you the clear picture. The agriculture sector has been playing a very important role in international trade also. The most important aspect of this export is majority of the agricultural products are not the foreign exchange earners. And the import content is either nil or negligible. WTO regime, that is World Trade Organization, has opened the new opportunities for the export of agricultural commodities from developing countries like India. India's agrarian culture and the varied regional climate have significantly contributed to the global foods. Indian curries, spices, snacks, mangoes are known for their excellent quality across the globe. So globally, India leads some of the important segments of the food export. The total agricultural commodities export was $3.5 billion in March to June 2020, with a sharp increase of 23.24% during the same period in 2019. Okay, during April to December 2020, grapes are exported amounting to $49.79 million, whereas India exported the pulses to the extent of $216.76 million and dairy products worth ₹138.93 million from April to December two quarters. Okay. During April to September 2020, natural honey exports amounting to $62.29 million, whereas the milk product has expected to reach 333 million tons by 2024. India has the world's largest population of buffaloes. How many buffaloes are there? As on December 2020, 109.8 million buffaloes. And vegetables, India ranks second in the world with 188 metric tons production in financial year 2020. It's number one on production of the okras and 6.44 MMT production in financial year 2020. If you look at these figures, like how the export is happened, highlights during the last year, how much export of what commodity was taken place. During financial year 2020, India exported the basmati rice worth $3.88 billion. Buffalo meat, $3.1 billion. Non-basmati rice, $1.84 billion. And the other processed foods worth $2.71 billion. During financial year 2021 till December 2020, okay, India exported basmati rice worth ₹3.27 billion, non basmati ₹3.51 billion, and the buffalo meat ₹2.62 billion in simple 9 months period. Okay, agriculture, horticulture and the processed foods are exported to more than 100 countries or regions, and the chief among them are the Middle East, Southeast Asia, SAARC countries and European Union, as well as the United States. Taking into consideration this export potential and the export figures, the recent developments, Ministry of Commerce and Industry has introduced the Agricultural Export Policy in 2018. With an aim to double the farmers' income by 2022 by doubling the agricultural export from the country and integrating the Indian farmers and the agricultural products to the global value chain, and the export of agriculture is targeted to the extent of US$60 billion by 2022. It is not an easy task. So as to increase this export of the bamboo also, bamboo products, very simple bamboo product. Local artisans are supported by the National Bamboo Mission. Government of India has introduced some of the ordinance to implement the reforms in the agriculture sectors also. Now, overall, in recent development, overall, some ordinance which are passed by the government, that is interesting to see. First, Agriculture Export Policy. As I said, it was implemented in 2018 to increase the farmers' income, harness the export potential, and makes the India leading players in the agricultural sector. Indian government has launched the Comprehensive Agricultural Export Policy. Farmers Produce Trade and Commerce Production in Facilitation Ordinance was passed in 2020. Okay, farmers produce trade and the commerce. What is this speciality of this ordinance? This ordinance will allow the intrastate and interstate trade of the farmers' produce beyond the physical premises of APMC, that is Agriculture Produce Market Committee, which are the apex body in trading this agricultural commodity in each state. And the state government will prohibit from levying the market fee, cess or levy outside the APMC areas. So that concession is provided by passing this ordinance. Then another ordinance is the Farmers Empowerment and the Protection Agreement for the Price Assurance and the Farm Service Agreement, Farm Service Ordinance. It consists of the framework on the farming agreements and will protect and empower the farmers to engage with the agribusiness firms, processors, wholesalers, exporters, or the large retailers also. Another ordinance may be an amendment to the Essential Commodities Act. Under this, the ordinance, the central government will be able to regulate the supply of certain food items only under extraordinary circumstances such as war and the famine. Okay, so Essential Commodity Act that cannot be exported because of certain exigencies like war and the famine that has to be retained in the country. So that kind of ordinance has also brought into the place. Then agricultural and processed foods, okay, Export Development Authority. The Agriculture and the Processed Food Product Export Development Authority, which is popularly called as APEDA, 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 which plays a significant role in tapping the India's agricultural strength and works towards the expanding the export potential of Indian agricultural and the food products. Okay. Having understood the potential of the export or exportable commodities, type of commodities that is to be exported, having market to it, we have to also understand before thinking of export some methodology to determine its export competitiveness, whether it is good to export or whether it is not to export. If it is yes, then under what circumstances? That is the methodology. The competitiveness has to be determined first before we decide to export the commodities. To determining the export competitiveness, it requires to take Indian prices of the agricultural commodities to compare them with the international prices. Because after exporting, if the price is faced less, then it is a loss-making venture. Under such situation, when the domestically you are getting the better price, why to export the goods and incur the additional expenditure? So that competitiveness has to be decided first. Okay, so international prices and domestic prices need to be compared at the time much before deciding whether the commodity can be exported or not. And there are two types of hypotheses. There are two types of hypotheses for determining the competitiveness. One is an importable hypothesis and second one is exportable hypothesis. When it is importable hypothesis, the price of the importable good should be much less than the international market, than the domestic market. Then only it can be sustained. Okay. So, and in exportable hypothesis, the price should be higher than the domestic when you are exporting the goods. Price should be less when you are importing the goods. So these are some of the common hypotheses that has to be reported. But it is not easy to determine the hypothesis to determine because it involves various factors. First, let us understand the importable hypothesis. The commodity which is regarded as an import substitute, that is the commodity under the consideration, is assumed to be imported and expected to be complete with the domestically produced commodity in the domestic market. This approach includes the international price of the commodity under the consideration, transportation cost between the exporting country and the India, and the post-clearance charges. So various costs involved into it that has to be taken into consideration, that is to be added into it, and some profit margin beyond that. If that is worth purchasing and it's a price determined less than the domestic price, then it is a positive competitiveness import hypothesis. Okay, further, if the commodity is required to be imported for the sale in the regional or local market, then the transportation cost within India is also included in the price of the commodity. Okay, so this is the hypothesis for import. Now, exportable hypothesis. This involves lot of other things also. Indian commodity under the consideration now is expected to compete in foreign country at the foreign port. The relevant reference price is determined after deducting the domestic and the international transport cost, marketing cost, and its trader margin, as also the pricing cost which is necessary to make the commodity marketable. The commodity is judged as an exportable if the price of the domestically produced commodity is less than the international price of the commodity. The concept of the nominal production coefficient, that is NPC, is required to be measured, and it is a measuring rod of the determining the competitiveness. So NPC, that is nominal production coefficient, is equal to PD divided by PB, where NPC is national protection coefficient, okay, and PD is equal to domestic price of the commodity. PB is the border or reference price of the commodity after taking care of transportation and marketing capacity. Under both the hypothesis, a commodity is adjudged, and if the NPC is less than the unity, then if the domestic price of the commodity is less than the border price or the preference price inclusive of the importable and the marketable cost, the commodity is judged as an export competitive. The dominant factor are domestic price and the transportation cost. In export hypothesis, it has to be ensured that its price must be higher than the total price, saleable price, should be higher than the domestic price when it is exported. Otherwise, it is equal to the domestic price. When the produce is sold into the market, the price which is fetched at that point of time, and if it is exported and the price is fetched more than what the domestic price is, including all cost, then in that case, it is preferable to export. Considering this NPC, okay, this concept, the extension of the concept, the degree of export competitiveness, which is an extension of this concept of NPC, symbolically, this degree of competitiveness has been expressed as the degree of export competitiveness 1 minus NPC divided by NPC. The higher the ratio, the degree will be degree of competitiveness of the commodity under the consideration. That means you can export. With the help of this concept, export competitiveness in respect of the major cereal, fruits, and the vegetable produced in India is evaluated. Okay. Wheat has also become the export competitive, while the maize and the sorghum are less export competitive, depending upon the degree of competitiveness. The degree of export competitiveness of the rice, which was worked out, is 1.2, whereas that of wheat is 0.2. And the same, the degree of export competitiveness of the maize and the sorghum is worked out to be minus 0.1 and minus 0.2 point respectively. So it is not worth in exporting the maize and the sorghum. However, it is worth exporting the rice and other rice and wheat. Okay, it is clear from this hypothesis. Now, current status and outlook. Some of the export products, maybe, these are grouped into the categories to the highest dollar value in India's global shipment during 2020. Also shown in the percentage, the shares which each export category represent in terms of the overall export. What was happened in the last year, current status of export? Mineral fuel including oil, it has been exported to the extent of US$27.6 billion, that is 10% of total export. Okay, gems and precious metal, $24.5 billion, 8.9%. Pharmaceutical, $18.4 billion, which is 6.7%. Machinery, which is of $18 billion, which is a composition is 6.5%, as well as the organic chemicals, $17.4 billion, composition is 6.3%, electrical machinery equipment, $13.5 billion, 4.9% composition, all the vehicles, US$13 billion, which constitute around 4.7%, iron and steel, US$10.6 billion, which is 3.9%, cereals, US$8.7 billion, that is 3.1%, plastic and plastic articles which are exported to the extent of US$6.6 billion, which composition is 2.4%. India's top 10 export approaches approached 3/5 of 57.5% of the overall shipments. Cereal represents the fastest grower among the top 10 export categories, up to 22.7% from 2019 to 2020. In the second place for the improving the export sale was pharmaceuticals, via 13.3% gain, which is led by the other two, whereas iron and steel up to 8.5%. The leading decliner among the India's top 10 export category was minerals, fuels including oil, and thanks to it, 37.9% drop of oil export is over the year. Okay, now this export competitiveness you understood, how to determine that and the process how to determine it. Once you understand that and the statistics or review of the comparative years if you are taken. Now you are coming to closure that certain facilities to boost the export of these commodities, there is a requirement to focus, a requirement of focus on this. So as to focus on the export of this highly demandable commodities, export agri-export commodities, there is a requirement of certain amount of the credit facilities which are required to be granted to the farmers or growers, farm growers or producers. No doubt we have seen various agencies which are giving the loans and advances to the export purpose. But in addition to that, there are certain things which require to be from export perspective we have to understand. The institutional agencies and the banks have been extending certain credit facilities to support these agriculture and promotion of exports. Commercial banks, private sector banks, certain types of select cooperative banks are empowered to grant the export finance to the agricultures. The support which is required at the pre-shipment stage and post-shipment stage will be undertaken by these organizations, that is commercial banks, maybe public sector bank, that is nationalized banks, some new private sector banks, old private sector banks, some select cooperative banks. Foreign exchange transactions, because when it is export, then foreign exchange transaction, foreign exchange will be earned by us. So these foreign exchange transactions, including the forward cover, so as to determine the perfect exchange rate, the forward currency cover, provision of the cross currency options, weekly trend in the forex markets is required to be taken into consideration and made aware to our farmer brothers. Okay. Providing the country a profile at the risk credit status report of the overseas trading partners and its market intelligence. When you are exporting, you are not knowing what is the characteristic feature of the buyer. So you are undertaking the risk. So the credit status report of the overseas trading firm is also required to be undertaken much before exporting. Counseling, risk management, and the optional hedging of the foreign exchange exposure of the long-term perspective, consulting the services and the exchange controls, import-export policy, and other formalities in the foreign trade is also required to be considered while granting the credit facilities to the agri-exporters. Sanctioning the line of credit to the processors, financing the bulk purchase of the imports also requires under the export of commodities. The credit facilities which are provided by the banks are very important because almost 70 to 75% of the credit facilities are provided to the exporters by the banks, commercial banks. Commercial banks means all these types which I explained that will come. So the banks are providing the credit facilities to the agri exports to at pre-shipment and the pro-shipment stages. Pre-shipment credit to first understand to which sector they are focusing. First, pre-shipment credit they are granting to the floriculture, grapes and other agro-based products. Pre-shipment credit. Pre-shipment means before the export happens, to grow this product, to grow these flowers, grapes and make it export competitive. Certain amount of finance is required by the farmers. That is given by the banks for purchase of the cut flowers and also the post-harvest expenses which are incurred for making the shipment. Concessional credit for working capital need in respect of the export-related activities of all the agro-based products, including the purchase of fertilizers, pesticides, and other inputs, if at all any required by the farmer who grows the flowers, grapes, etc., are also considered at the pre-shipment stage. This activity will be covered under the direct and indirect finance schemes of the NABARD also. Export credit should not be extended for the purpose of investment, such as import of the foreign technology, import of equipment, land development, or any other items which cannot be regarded as a working capital. Thank you very much.